for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, December the 26th, 1980. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And this is tape two of two tapes of Colonel Speed Wilson's testimony and subject, Knowing the Times.
This is now the conclusion of this message from part A.
And that's what Amos, the last two verses of Amos agrees. They're there to state. I want to point out that it was the third day of the six-day war. Keep that in mind. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 is a number for judgment, the beginning of judgment. But 9 o'clock in the morning is a very important hour in the Bible. That was the King James phraseology, the third hour of the morning, 0 hour, 6. Mark 15:25, the Lord was nailed to the cross, 9 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, all Pentecostals or charismatics or charismaniacs, whatever you prefer, or Acts 2:15, the Holy Spirit is poured out at 9 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that interesting? The Lord said we weren't to know the day nor the hour, but 9 o'clock in the morning, Jerusalem time, might be a very important hour one of these times. Where we are right now, Jerusalem time is 8 hours later than it is here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So, see, it's already later than you think. You better shape up, man. But anyway. Well, we'll run through a lot of signs. The Lord gave a whole bunch. He was asked for these signs. You'll hear Matthew 24:6, and it's also in Luke and Mark. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not troubled, for they must come to pass, but the end of the age is not yet. And race shall rise against race. That's translated to King James nation, but it's ethnos, meaning race. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and earthquakes and pestilence and so forth. Well, very briefly, we'll go through that. And Matthew 24:9 says, and many Christians will be martyred for my namesake, or killed for my namesake. There have been more wars in this generation, this 40-year period, than all prior history combined. There are 26 wars in progress right now on the face of the earth. 26. According to U.S. News and World Report last month. More people were killed in World War II than all the wars of prior. Over 60 million people killed in one war called WWII. There have been more people starved to death in this generation than all prior history. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 million people starved to death this year, 1980. Most of them in Africa and India. Earthquakes. Man, you can't miss that one. Earthquakes as never before. Well, let's go through some earthquakes. Very interesting. Scientific American, Science Digest, and many others have published that MIT and Caltech have said that there has been a drastic increase in intensity and frequency of earthquakes, and you guessed it, since 1948. And here are some of the statistics. In the 50-year period of 1896 to 1946, there were an average of 3 earthquakes every 10 years. 3 per 10 years, get that. There were Richter scale 6 or greater. In the 10-year period of 46 to 56, there were 7. But get this. In the 10-year period from 56 to 66, there were 17. And in the 10-year period of 1966 to 76, there were 180. And it's going to go right on up. There were 42 earthquakes in 1976 alone. The greatest earthquake in all history, based on the number of people that perished, was in China, July 76, somewhere in the neighborhood of between 500,000 and 750,000, almost 1 million people, somewhere in that range. We don't know for sure. To give you some perspective, there were only 700 people killed in the great San Francisco earthquake. Big deal. Well, I guess it was if you were one of them. But anyway, telling a Chinaman about the great San Francisco earthquake is like telling Noah about the flood of Johnstown. But anyway, by the way, if you don't understand Richter scales, each number in the Richter scale, as it increases, the last number is 10 times greater than the one prior to that. So that's the reason a 5 or a 6 doesn't destroy too much, but a 7 does, because a 7 is 10 times more violent than a 6. If you understand mathematics, engineers, it's the exponent of 10. Well, and on down the line, Christians being killed. Homosexuality, clearly a sign. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans 1, 26, 32. In the last days, the women will turn to unnatural acts and men turning to men and doing that which is unnatural and all that. Clearly a sign. But I want to get to this one. Matthew 24, Mark 13, 8. Now, in the Greek, it actually says this: and these events and other events shall occur as the pain in childbirth, and is but the beginning. Very interesting. Childbirth pains are very clear. They come in a specific pattern. If you look at a chart on childbirth pain, the pain is rather minor to start with and far apart time-wise, but as the time of the new creation comes closer and closer, the parallels are all there, isn't it? The pain will increase intensity and get closer and closer together. They actually double in half times. Statisticians would say a geometric progression. Or if you're working for McNamara and his band over in the Pentagon, you'd say a function of the parabolic curve. And nobody knows what you're talking about. But anyway, that's true. And that's exactly the way things have been going on. By the way, the parallel's all there. Did you realize that in a normal childbirth, the head is born first? Jesus being the head. What's he birthing today? A body. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. And is but the beginning. Like one lady said, yeah, when it starts, you can't stop it. Glory to God. Let it come. I think it's beautiful. I think it really blesses me as to how the heathen will do great effort to prove God's word, and they don't know it. Like Alvin Toffler in his book of 1970, Future Shock. A statistician and historian, he set out 2 years of gathering statistics, and he was proving God's word and didn't know it. He still didn't know the Lord. Wrote another beautiful book I'm in the process of reading, The Third Wave. Beautiful one. Confirming God's word again. But anyway, Future Shock, he gathered all the statistics, and he shows for about 10 chapters that, and it was a number one bestseller for 2 consecutive years in the nonfiction category. He documents, and you can even get a copy of the Logarithmic Generation, a Logarithmic Age, Charting Future Shock for $20, which I did, which is interesting. But anyway, at the end of the 10th chapter, listen to what Alvin Toffler said. Every aspect of human existence has changed more since about 1948 than all prior history. Glory to God. Isn't that great? Some of you sitting around here can remember the first automobile you saw. Sure. That's in Daniel 12:4. In the last days, there will be much travel as never before, and knowledge will literally explode. Dr. Derek Prince said the word translated knowledge there is a unique word. That's a word of one of a kind that applies equally to divine as it does scientific. So you can expect rapid revelation. Hang in there. Things are going to change rapidly. You may even have to give up some of your doctrines. A man once said, a man's best friend is his dogma. Well, I don't want to kick your old dogma, but I'd like to step on his tail a few times. But anyway, did you know that Orville Wright lived to see Chuck Yeager fly faster than the speed of sound? When Orville flew, they run along beside him and talk to him. Lindbergh lived to see a man walk on the moon. Praise the Lord. That just blows your mind as how things are exploding rapidly, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the glory of the Lord is yet to be revealed. That literally means hang in there. You ain't seen nothing yet, man. Well, let's go to some more. Crime will abound. No questions about that, is there? Luke 21:24 is about Jerusalem and Israel. Here's Luke 21:25. There will be signs and wonders in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Did you ever think about that being the space program? Could be. Signs and wonders in the sky. Somewhere in the neighborhood of somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 satellites out there orbiting around the Earth right now. Skylab went out, was up there for about 3 years. The Russians have been up there and stayed nearly 6 months and came down and walked off from their capsule and all that sort of thing. Signs and wonders in the sky, that's clearly one. Did you ever think about what these disciples would have thought if the Lord sitting on the Mount of Olives and said, there'll be signs and wonders in the sky, and here went a jet flying by? And here we are riding them, if you're in a Concorde flying from New York or Houston or Dallas to over to London, at twice the speed of sound, 1,400 miles an hour. And we're sitting there reading that scriptures. I saw a lady one day on the airplane, and she was reading, wonder what do you mean, signs and wonders in the sky? And here we were banging along at about 700 miles an hour. Man, take something. And the sun. Well, we sent things out to the sun to check it out, and guess what? We found out it's hot. But anyway, and the moon. Glory to God. Do you know how many astronauts went to the moon? 12, as in what? Apostles. Not 11, not 13, but 12. All born-again believers but one. I've read something about that in the Bible. But anyway, Isn't that beautiful? Glory. I wish the Lord would speak to us, don't you? I sure wish he'd show us a sign. As one brother pointed out, they left two of the most expensive used cars you can imagine parked up there on the moon. Avis is going to buy them and rent them to the Russians if they can ever get there. But anyway. Couldn't be Hertz because they're number one, you know. And the stars. Glory to God. You'd have to be dead to have missed that one. With Mariner and Viking and Pioneer and all of those taking pictures of Mars and Saturn and pretty soon Mercury and Viking 1 and 2 out there and working on the moon, taking and analyzing the soil. Back before the elections, Ronald Reagan said they might start a peanut farm, and he had a farmer in mind that he'd like to send. But anyway. Billy said he wasn't going. But anyway. And the stars. So all of that's there. Very interesting. Well, let's go on. And in the same verse, it says, on the earth there will be distresses with nations in bewilderment. Have you seen a nation that's in bewilderment? Man, you can't miss that one. Luke 21:26, and the hearts of men failing from fear of things they see happening upon the earth. Up until last year, heart failure was the number one killer in the United States. Heart failure is not the number one killer in the United States. Guess what the number one killer in taking life today is? Abortion. Nearly 2 million children killed through abortion last year. And the prophet knew you from the loins of your father. It goes way back, doesn't it? Well, anyway, Joel puts one in that's beautiful. Joel 2nd chapter, verse 30, and in the literal Hebrew it says this, in the last days there will be columns of smoke and fire shaped like palm trees. Thermonuclear explosions shaped like palm trees. Very clear, isn't it? Well, signs and events. We could give a lot more, but let's get on. Matthew 24:14, Mark 14:9 is the sign of the end of the age. It was referred to when we were singing here a minute ago. And this gospel, good news, in this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations or races, and glory to God, then will come the end of the age. Everybody's going to hear. Everyone will have to make a choice. I think it's beautiful. You know, in Washington, we're great on acronyms. I thought it was real great not so long ago when they created the Department of Public Education. And they had to drop that name because its acronym would have been D-O-P-E, dope. And they said, well, they didn't want that. I was on a board to make a career for reserve officers, and so one came up with career unlimited duty. And we had to change it because that spelled crud. Would you like to be a crud? Well, but gospel, I think that's beautiful. G-O-S-P-E-L. God's only Son provides eternal life. Hallelujah. Gospel. I think God had a hand in that. Well, I began to wonder, what's this good news of the kingdom of God that's going to be preached? And I looked it up and found in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I'd met a lot of missionaries overseas that didn't even know the king, much less the kingdom. And I was wondering in 1972, and I began to see that 1982 might well be the end of this age. Still haven't changed my thinking on that. And I said, Lord, how are you going to do this in the short time remaining? And I was leafing through U.S. News and World Report to see what prophecy God had fulfilled in the news. You know, the Bible is tomorrow's newspaper. If we get a chance, we'll talk about the Middle East. That's going to be fulfilled in 1982, the Battle of Jehoshaphat. Not the Battle of Armageddon. That's a spiritual battle. That's kingdom against kingdom, as the Lord referred to. And we know how that war turns out, too. But anyway, and they were selling a book entitled Wiring the World. So I called U.S. News and World Report. They're over by the State Department, which we affectionately call Foggy Bottom. And, you know, they don't see too clear over there. It's foggy. They get our enemies all mixed up with our friends and all that sort of thing. And so I went over, and they sure, they had it there in the office. I went over and picked up a copy of Wiring the World. Traffic's rather busy, and I sat there in the car, and I read the introduction and three or four chapters. And let me quote you from the introduction of Wiring the World. Quote, there has been an explosion in all fields of communication since 1948. Now I had an old Pentecostal spell right there in the car. That will have a greater influence on our individual lives than the Industrial Revolution or the development of atomic power. Boy, what a statement. And then they went on to say, and if it continues to develop at the current rate within 5 years, that was 1972, by 1977, within 5 years, we will have the capability of reaching every ear on this earth with any chosen message. Didn't say we would, we'd have the capability. They prophesied correctly. CBN, PTL, Rex Humbard, you go on down the list, all went via satellite in 1977. And they can now reach every ear on the face of the earth with the good news. Now, that could be accomplished by 1982, where everyone will make a choice. We're in the valley of decision. You'll choose this day whom you will serve. Satellites are in the... Well, why did they say 48? Well, in 1948, God gave us the transistor. This is all in Wiring the World. Also, in 1948, first tape recorders. 3M Corporation got some ferrous oxide particles to hear a piece of molar tape. Called the tape recorder. Someone asked Bob Mumford one time, what's the sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, a tape recorder. No problem. He says, you can always tell these charismatics because they run around with circles on their eyes from going for endless night meetings. And they got a tape recorder on their arm headed for the next one. He said, you would think the Great Commission is to go forth in the world and tape the preachers. Anyway. What a beautiful way to get the word out. Hallelujah. I mean, it's great. It's interesting, the little Norelco cassette was the first, according to Wiring the World, was the first mechanical product to ever be marketed, and when it came on the market, it was standard the world over. That was June 1967 when Jerusalem returned to the control of nation Israel. Don't you think God had a hand in that? No, these things are not accidents. Satellites are referred to in Revelation 14:6, verse 7 and 8. And I saw another messenger flying in the midst of the heavens, preaching the everlasting gospel to all who dwelt upon the earth. It takes 3 satellites to cover the whole earth, and that's what Revelation says, 3 of them. Fiber optics is going to completely revolutionize, and is completely revolutionizing communications. We don't have time to go into that, but it's just beautiful. First time I ran into fiber optics was control data in their optical scanner. We were putting in a computer center, and we didn't like to have dumb Marines trying to type and make errors in the input to the computer. And so we were looking for a computer that could read. And control data had one, and it was fiber optics. And now the telephones are all fiber optics and all that sort of thing. In fact, one fellow in the deliverance ministry said he hoped to get a picture of a demon one day. He's going to run a tube down somebody's neck with a fiber optic and take the picture. Well, I think just cast him out. Somebody asked Kenny Copeland one time, says, can a Christian have a demon? Kenny said, sure you can. God will give you the desires of your heart. But he said, the point is, you don't have to. Tell him, shove off in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. Praise the Lord. That's a truth that has to be revealed because we got to reclaim this land. Hallelujah. As Bob Mumford said when he said he gave us the promised land, he didn't know the land of milk and honey. He said he didn't tell us we had to milk the cows and swat the bees. But anyway... And cast out the demons and all of them. Well, Matthew 24:21, there will be a great tribulation as never before, and the saints are in it, because if those days were not foreshortened or decreased in number, nobody would survive them, but for the sake of the saints they will be decreased. And remember, Matthew 24:29, Jesus says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall or disappear from the heaven, and the bodies of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, I want you to remember, and you've heard a lot about this, the Jupiter effect will occur in early 1982, could fulfill this. I'm not saying it would, but it may very well. The Jupiter effect. That's when all 9 planets will be lined up. And an Australian, Steve Biel, a great scientist, recently published a book, and he'd sent me a tape before. He'd heard one of my tapes, and he's over in Australia. Sister from Australia. Maybe you've heard of Steve Biel. I don't know. Bayo or Biel. But he published a book entitled The Cosmic Conspiracy, and it's all about this. And then he did a lot of research with computers and whatnot and ran the stars back through. And the last time, now this event occurs approximately every 179 years, but they will be lining up somewhat differently this year in 1982 than ever before. And he ran it back, and the last time that the stars lined up in this exact manner, you guessed it was in the days of Noah. Jesus said, the coming of the Son of Man shall be as in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. So the Jupiter effect might do it. Pat Robertson gave a beautiful talk at the World Convention last July of the things that are going to happen between now and 1982. One of the most complete discourses on the financial, economic, natural, all the events that are going to occur between now and 1982. Well, the Lord talks a lot at the end of this about the end of the age of the olive tree and, the fig tree. The olive tree is spiritual Israel and the fig tree is natural Israel. We all know that. I think it's really interesting. He says, learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches become tender, when it comes into existence, did in 1948, and then puts forth leaves, you'll know that summer is near. I thought that was beautiful. The Lord told us actually the season in which it was going to occur. When summer draws near, 14th of May, summer draws near. Summer over there, the 21st day of June is like it is here. Jerusalem returned to the control of the nation Israel, 7th day of June, 1967. Summer was only 14 days away. And in Luke it says the olive tree and all trees. So he's clearly talking about a season that it was going to occur. I thought that was interesting. The Lord let us know that much. And when you see all these things, what things? Well, you have to see Israel become a nation in 1948. Then you have to see all these other things. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, all that sort of stuff, and they have to occur as the pain in childbirth, doubling in half times, all of that sort of thing. So there can't be a coincidence. We're the only generation since 585 years before Christ was born that's ever seen a nation of Israel in existence. We're it. When you see all these things, you know that he, the Son of Man, is near even at the door. Now, it's not the coming, it's the end of an age. He hadn't even mentioned the coming of the Son yet. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation that sees Israel, etc., shall not pass away, that is, it will not have ended, until all of these things have been fulfilled or accomplished. And one of them was, you know, the good news shall be preached throughout the whole world. Now, a generation is clearly 40 years. I'll give you scripture on that because you get a lot of argument about it. You can read in the scripture that they wandered in the wilderness, the old generation passed away, and a new generation raised up. But you also find in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 13. Psalm 95, verse 10. And in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 and 17 says, in the last days of generations, 40 years. Now, so you could add 40 to 48, you come up with the year of 1988. And a lot of people have said the Lord's going to come in 88. In fact, the people that believe in the rapture, and they also believe that the tribulation is 7 years. Both of them are wrong. The tribulation is not 7 years, and there ain't a rapture. But anyway, they figure they're all going to be gone in 1981. Because if the Lord has to come in 1988, they got to get out of this tribulation that's coming up. They don't know the tribulation started probably in 48 or 67, but that's a beside point. But anyway, and so, and we got them all on record. I've got some of them in writing, Chuck Smith in writing, and Jimmy Baker on tape, and all the others that they're going to get through with all their work prior to 1982, because the rapture's coming. But in 1983, they might be interested in looking at scriptures again. But anyway, we'll talk about that one night and give you all the references. In fact, there was a dear brother down in Texas that said the rapture was going to occur the first day of April, 1980. I won't have time to go into that, so I sent him my tape, Rapture, with a big question mark, and his next 30-minute radio program really took me apart. He was nice enough to send me the tape. So I wrote back and told him, I hope you didn't throw my tape away, Rapture question mark, because you might find it interesting on the second day of April, 1980. And so maybe he did, I don't know. But anyway, he's still here. If he's gone, one of us is wrong. Glory. I'm glad you people can laugh at such things. Some people will shoot you for talking that way. But anyway, well, they don't do that. They burn you at the stake, don't they? Or just go tell your friends you're a heretic. But anyway, but not in 88, because that'd be the end of the generation. Either this generation will not come to an end. So around 1982, I believe, and here's the reason I follow that, because Israel became mature 14th of May 1978 on Pentecost Sunday, and that's the age of maturity. And it's also the age of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he ministered for 3.5 years. So you add 3.5 to 1978, coming up to 1981, 82, in that time frame, the same time of the Jupiter effect. And also it's a very interesting thing that when they retook the city of Jerusalem, the head rabbi was helicopter lifted into the base of the Wailing Wall, and he put on all his regalia, the prayer shawl and the cords and all that sort of thing, and he picked up the ram's horn and he honked on it and he proclaimed Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah, and I'm sure Brother Lee will be talking on this, is the Feast of Trumpets, sounding the end gathering. Now, Rosh Hashanah from the last trumpet is 10 days to Yom Kippur, and then 5 days from Yom Kippur to Tabernacles. Now, let's look at a day substituting a day for a year, and you can find that in Genesis 29:7 and Ezekiel 4:6 and so forth, that you can substitute a day for a year and so forth, or 1,000 years for a day. So the Six-Day War, 1967, you add 10 years instead of 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That takes us to 1977, and we all know what happened in 77. Anwar Sadat went to Jerusalem. and started the peace that's referred to in Ezekiel 37, 14, 15, the peace that's referred to there. Then you add 5 years to 1977, comes out 1982 again. There's just a whole host of calculations that indicate 1982 could well be the end of this age. Now then, the Lord is through with the end of the age, and it's very clear if you look in the King James, it's a new paragraph, and right after the parable of the fig tree, he says, but of the coming of the Son of Man. That's in Matthew 24:36, Mark 13:32. So now he's going to answer the question about the coming of the Son of Man. But of the Son of Man you shall not know the day nor the hour, and we've already talked about that. And he says, but as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and as in the days were immediately before the flood, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, you can read Genesis 6 and 7. I don't have to tell you about it. It tells you exactly what it was like in the days of Noah. Here's some of the things before the flood. Wickedness was very great throughout the world. Well, you can sure see that in the world today. Violence filled the earth. Glory to God. That's sure clear today. Man had polluted and corrupted God's ways upon the earth. If you think it's bad today, cheer up, brothers and sisters. It's going to get worse. Jesus said in Revelation 22:11, behold, I come very soon. When you see the unjust being more unjust and the filthy being more filthy. Have you seen any of that? But, here's the good news, at the same time when you see the unjust being more unjust and the filthy being more filthy, you will see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy. Hallelujah. Very clear. Now, in 1948, an Anglican priest by the name of Glenn Thomas, I found that out when I was invited to Stockholm, Sweden, and they were having a world convention on signs of the times. And when I got there, I found out I was the only American there, and I was restricted to talking about the political economic signs, and we may talk about the International Money Group in this series. And they're very clear, and they're getting clearer daily. But Brother Glenn Thomas, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, 14th of May, 1948. Get the date? 14th of May, 1948, the day Israel became a nation. He was in England, on his knees, in his study, and all of a sudden he got a strong desire in his heart to know the day of the Lord. And he cried out, Lord, I want to know the day of your coming. He knew it was all right to know. He wasn't hung up in doctrines. And the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice. Now, he'd never heard God speak in an audible voice before, and when I met him in 1974, he hadn't heard God speak audibly since. God gave him four words. Remember the third day. That's all he said. Remember the third day. So Brother Glenn Thomas got up, grabbed his Bible, and he was going to look up some third day scriptures. He could remember it. But as he opened the Bible, the Lord gave him the thought, 2 Peter 3:8. Here's what 2 Peter 3:8 says. But, beloved, be not ignorant. Isn't that great? Of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Establishing everything out of the mouths of two or three, you'll find that same thing recorded in Psalm 90, verse 4. So now then, the third day, the days that he would be looking at, will be 1,000 days each. So, if you begin with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, 2 days are about shot. The year 2000 just about here. And the millennium, referred to in Revelation 16 about 6 times, could well be the third day. Now then, I had been looking for a seventh day. Why? Because I had found that, well, I'll give you some scriptures on the third day before we get to that. Exodus 19, verse 10 through 17. The Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and tell the people to be ready for the third day. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people, and he sanctified the people. And Moses kept saying unto the people, be ready for the third day. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. I bet it's about 9 o'clock. What are you on about? Says it was in the morning. That there was a thunder and a lightning and a thick cloud came down upon the mountain and a voice of a trumpet. And that sounds exactly like Corinthians, Thessalonians, Revelation, God speaking as a trumpet. A voice of a trumpet exceeding loud so that all the people camp, in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Now that was the third day in the morning. Glory to God. Hosea 6:2, after 2 days will God revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we'll live in his sight forever. And that's in the third day, remember? Jesus said, well, before we get to that, John 2nd chapter verse 1, and it was on the third day there was a marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. We know what happened there. The Lord began his miracle ministry, and it was the third day of the feast. There's another feast, and it'll be on the third day, Revelation 19:7, the great marriage feast of the Lamb. So we see that, but it's interesting also that Jesus said, you go tell Herod, that's in here somewhere, yeah, Luke 13:32 said, you go tell Herod, behold, I cast out demons, I heal the sick. Uh-oh, there's that casting out demons again. That's interesting. I shall cast out demons, heal the sick today and tomorrow, 2 days. And in the third day I shall be perfected, not resurrected, perfected. Prophesying about his body being perfected in the third day. Glory to God. Now, I've been looking at this seventh day. You know, why would I be looking at it? Well, in Hebrews 4:4 says this, God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works, and there remains yet to come a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Well, I knew that, that'd be the seventh day. I knew about 1,000 years, and I'd worked around on it and whatnot, and I found some very interesting things. That if you begin with Adam, it was 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2 days. 2,000 years from Abraham to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, 4 days. 2,000 years from Jesus to the millennium, 6 days. The seventh day turns out to be the same as the third day. The third day and the seventh day are the same day, letting everything be established out of the mouth of 2 or 3. And isn't it interesting? The city of Jerusalem returned to the control of nation Israel, third day of the 6 day war. Quite an accident, isn't it? Coincidental. You ought to get the impression God's running this show. If he hadn't run it, you can stop it. I want to get off. But I'm so excited about what he's doing, I want to hang around and see what he's doing. Now, the Orthodox Jew is looking for their coming of their Messiah, 1994 to 1997. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting also that if you begin with Adam and calculate the solar years, the sun years, 2001... sun years, I figured out one time, ends up, well, if you, I'd have to go back and search that out again, but it ends up the year 2001. But now then, it's very interesting that if we really made a four-year era, which most scientists say we did in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we switched calendars and made a minimum of a four-year era, then if you take four from 2001, it ends up 1997. So that could very well be the coming of the Son of Man, and that's interesting phraseology that we won't have time to explore. Now, that's a pure speculation, sometime around 1997, 2007. Because you see, there was a generation that 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 10 through 13, that there's a generation that the angels longed to look into and the prophets never understood. Now, I think that generation began in 1967, a 40-year period, and that would end 2007. A generation, the end of the age, about 1988, somewhere in that time frame. Another generation, 1967, the end of 2007. Somewhere in that time frame. But I'm convinced we do know the month and week. Colossians 2nd chapter, verses 16 and 17. Let no man judge you by what you eat or drink, nor in respect to your holy days or your Sabbath days, because they're only a shadow or a type or an outline of things to come. They're prophetic. So there are 3 major feasts, 4 minor feasts. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, 3 major ones. You know all the background of that. Jesus was crucified at the Passover. Poured out at Pentecost, but Tabernacles was never fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? Never has been fulfilled yet for you and I. So I looked up all the references to tabernacle, tents, and booths, and I found an interesting thing in Matthew 17, the first 8 verses, Mark 9, first 8 verses, Luke 9, 29 through 36, and we put those together. We know that Jesus was in Jerusalem to keep a feast, but we're not told which one in the Scriptures. Peter does tell us which one. Now, if you merge those, you get this. Jesus took Peter, James, and John out of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? Moses brought the people out of the camp. And as he stood on the high mountain praying, he was transfigured, changed, or transformed. It's the Greek word metamorphosed, translated 3 ways in the King James. Right before their very eyes. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments were white as light, or snow. And Moses appeared on the one hand, and Elijah on the other hand. And a cloud came down and covered them. Isn't that interesting? Moses, the cloud came down. And covered them, a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, hear him. Isn't that interesting? Now you can understand what God was saying. God simply said, you had Moses the law, you had Elijah the prophet, but now you have my son who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophet, hear him. You'll find that recorded in the first 2 verses of Hebrews also. It said, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, but in these last days he speaks to us through his son Jesus Christ. Then Peter told us what we want to know. He said, oh, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us build 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. They were all Jews, and that's what they do during the Feast of Tabernacles, the harvest, the ingathering, and so forth. They build a little tent just big enough for one man, just a little booth. And the man is supposed to sit in there the first day, fasting, praising God for the promised land, and that they're no longer worshiping in the desert and the tabernacle tents, but now they're worshiping in temples in the promised land, and at the end the same thing for 7 days. So that happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, glory to God, now if our Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured during the Feast of Tabernacles, now we know when we're going to be transfigured during the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a secret or a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be transfigured, transformed, or changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, the sounding of the last trumpet. Glory to God. Now, that's recorded also in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Romans 8:23, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Philippians 3:21, 1 John 3:2. We can't plead ignorance of that. Beautiful also in 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 and 7, Peter says, there is another salvation to be revealed or accomplished in the last days. Do you recognize that when you were born again, your spirit was justified or saved? When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you started a progress of putting on the mind of Christ, sanctification, your soul being sanctified, spirit, soul, and glory to God during tabernacles, your body will be glorified. This is interesting. Look at the tabernacle pattern on the wall. Outer court, multitudes upon multitudes will be saved, spirit saved. But in the holy place, not very many will keep Pentecost. You're a pretty select group. If you will multiply out the cube of the holy place, it turns out to be 2,000 cubits. 2,000 cube cubits. 2,000 years, remember? That's something that'll shake you. Because the Holy of Holies is half that size. It's only 1,000 cubits. So not everybody that speaks in tongues is going to enter the Holy of Holies. Some of them get born again and speak in tongues and waiting for the rapture. They got it all. No, they haven't got it all. Somebody asked me, are you full gospel? Well, I'm two-thirds gospel. There's more. There's always more.
Right.
Praise God. Don't ever shortchange God. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, what difference does it make? If I kept Pentecost, I'll keep tabernacle. I wouldn't be too sure of that. There are a lot of people around been saved that haven't kept Pentecost. It's of the devil anyhow. That's what they told. Speaking in tongues is the devil. Didn't you know that? Sure. Healing, that's for the birds. The birds never had it so good. But anyway, all those things. Beautiful. Well, here's some more interesting things. Jesus said, but as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Did you know that Noah and his family entered the ark exactly 7 days before the flood? Genesis 7:10 says so. Feast of Tabernacles just happens to be a seven-day feast. How about that? Now we know the week, don't we? Genesis 7, verse 11 says, and the flood started on the 17th day of the number 2 months. That's on the Hebrew calendar. Remember that, 17th day of the number 2 months. Genesis 8:4, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat the 17th day of the number 7 months. The Feast of Tabernacles starts the 14th day, the 14th day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Ought to have that here for you. Yeah, it's the 15th day of the 7th month is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34. So if the ark came to rest on the Mount Ararat, the 17th day of the 7th month, brothers and sisters, that's the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, 15, 16, 17, third day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jerusalem returned to the control of the nation of Israel, third day of the Six-Day War, and God said, remember the third day. You might want to keep your eye on 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, how would you ever find out on a Christian calendar? You can't. But you can find Yom Kippur. That's the 10th day of the 7th month. So that's no big deal. Once you know the 10th day, you say 10th is Yom Kippur, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. First day, Feast of Tabernacles. This year it was the 25th day of September, 1980. And then you might want to count 15, 16, 17, third day of the Feast of Tabernacles, right at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. About Jerusalem time. Remembering that that's 8 hours difference in here. Praise the Lord. 8 is the number for new beginning. You're in a good time zone. Praise the Lord. Well, we've speculated about 1982 being the end of this age. Could very well be. All the signs indicate that. When I saw that 1968, it looked like a long way off, but it's not so far off now. And glory to God, I'm all excited about all the signs that are in politics and economics and all of that. And somewhere around 1997, the year 2007, we expect the coming of the Son of Man, and that's very interesting terminology. It may not actually be the physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not too sure it is. It could be the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, that's going to be. And somebody wanted to know about that gap in there. Well, there's always been a gap. There was a gap between the time that Adam and Eve were in the garden until they were kicked out. And there was a gap between the time that Adam received the promise until it was fulfilled. And there's also a lapse of time between the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the morning of Pentecost. I thought it was just interesting. If 1982 turns out to be the end of this age, it just turns out from the time that Jesus says in the temple, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" And he was 12 years old. And he began to fulfill that when he was 30. You take 12 from 30 and you end up with 18, the exact number of years between 1982 and the year 2000. Isn't that neat? But anyway, but I am convinced that you and I will be changed into the Lord, the image of our Lord Jesus Christ with our glorified bodies during the Feast of Tabernacles, probably the third day. I don't know what year. But glory to God, we're sure 1,980 closer than we were back when it started. I'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, who? Jesus Christ. He is faithful to do it. Glory. It's not a do-it-yourself club. It's all by grace through faith. Now, you don't have to put on a robe and go climb a high and white mountain, although you got some around here. Glory to God, you're going to be changed right where you're sitting and where you're going. So don't ever put a limit on God. He's not going to leave us in this mess. He's changing us. Glory to God. Any questions? And if you didn't get that 2 year, 2,000 years and 7,000 years, I'll put it on the transparency and we can project it up here. But I think it's pretty easy. Everybody would see it. Any questions? If you don't, you can stand up. I know you're pretty sore from sitting. Praise the Lord. Well, that's just the introduction. Now that we know where we are, we can find out such things as who Mr. 666 is. He's around. Name adds up three ways in English and also in Greek. He'll be the head of the United Nations about 1981, 92. Buying and selling of the number, glory to God, that's here. And it's not, doesn't have anything to do with you. That's what happens when you take scriptures out of context. What gets you in trouble is worshiping the beast, not taking the number. And everybody on the earth will worship the beast except who? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You already got the number anyway. It's your Social Security number. Up in Canada, it's called their Social Insurance number. God's got a sense of humor. It's their sin number, Social Insurance number. We'll talk about the rapture, question mark, if the Lord leads. And I keep that to last night. I don't like to be burned at the stake the first night. But anyway... But I'm not too far off. I saw a book back there I recognized by Jim McKeever. But anyway, dear brother. And we'll certainly talk about the United States or North America, Russia and Israel in prophecy, because there's a lot of garbage going around on that one. And the Lord willing, we'll talk on Bible numerics in the 70th week of Daniel, which is really exciting. And some of you may have already wondered, I never did when I was over in Japan on a train one time, and you know the Japanese like to practice their English, and one walked up to me and he says, "You're a Christian?" And I said, "You bet." And he said, "Well, how is it that you Christians say that Jesus, or the Bible says that Jesus was going to be dead and in the earth or in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and you say he was crucified on Friday and is resurrected on Sunday?" He got shorted a day and a night. And, you know, I never questioned that, so I began to search it out, and I found out, sure enough. That ended up getting that sort of thing because our fighting fundy preachers, you know what a fighting fundy is, fundamentalists, they're the people that took fun out of fundamental. But anyway, they're always fighting over each other about who's right. Somebody said that's what the Battle of Armageddon is. It's fighting fundamental preachers arguing over who's right. But anyway, found out that... The Jews or the Hebrews have a lot of holy days or Sabbath days other than Saturday, but the fighting fundies, like well others, they only thought the Jews had a Sabbath day on Saturday, so if they had to get him off of the cross before the Sabbath day, that had to be Friday. But not so. He's probably crucified. Jesus certainly wasn't born at Christmas. We already found that out. He was probably born the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because it was on the... Yeah, probably 9 o'clock in the morning. Because they took him to the temple on the eighth day, not an eighth day. And it's after the 7 days of Feast of Tabernacles, the eighth day shall be a great convocation at the temple. And they took Jesus to the temple on the eighth day. So if he was born the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles and they took him to the temple on the eighth day, then it would be he was born the first day of, well, around early September. Certainly the shepherds weren't sleeping in the fields in December. Even the sheep don't know that, and they're dumb. But anyway, but we'll tear up a lot of little doctrines like that, which will make the Bible a lot more interesting. I think Bible numerics will probably show you more understanding of the Scripture than any single one, and we'll give you chapter and verse. No other questions, or we'll secure this, and we'll look forward to whatever the Lord would have us. Yes, brother?
Are you saying that the Lord Jesus Christ will not return in physical body?
No, I'm not saying that he's not returned. I'm just exploring possibilities, and I hope we're open to that. Because you'll find the term, the Son of Man, may not... thank you, brother. That's a very interesting one. You'll find the term Son of Man is used in the Old Testament referring to any prophet who stood up in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Elijah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, God spoke and said, Son of Man, prophesy. Now, this is a possibility. The Son of Man can refer to the body of Jesus Christ coming into its reign for the 1,000-year period when Satan is bound. And it may take 1,000 years for us to have a church without spot nor wrinkle. Do you see a church today without spot nor wrinkle? That takes a lot of cleaning and pressing called tribulation. And right now, and subject to change without notice, and I've sat down with many people and we try to take all scriptures, right now, I would have to say, if I was, and I am working on it, but I got some scriptures that don't fit, so I don't like to have anything left over. Right now, I'd have to say the actual physical return of the man Jesus Christ would be at the end of the millennium. It's very clear he returns then to judge with the saints and to destroy Satan once and for all. During the millennium, Satan is bound, but at the end of the millennium, he's destroyed, and the Lord shall return with the sword of the word and so forth, you know, all the scriptures. So the only thing I throw that in is I'm not trying to start new doctrines. All I'm trying to do is to get you to open up so that you can see the new things that are going to, as Brother Glenn says, in these last days, God's going to do a quick work. And he's going to show you things that the old prophets never understood. Daniel didn't understand half what he wrote. And God finally had to tell him it wasn't for him and none of the others. So stay loose. One of the things that always sticks in my mind, one day I was reading in John, I think it is, about the two men on the road, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the Lord's crucifixion, resurrection, and so forth. Now, these were two of Jesus' own disciples. They were on the road to Emmaus, very dejected, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and walked along with them. And the King James says, and their eyes were holden, and they knew him not. And it grieves me yet. At that time, I said, Lord, these guys had been with you for 3 years. They'd seen you after your resurrection. And if they didn't recognize you, what did an eight ball like me got? You know, how am I going to know? So I got the Young's Concordance, and I looked up the word that's translated holden. And it's a Greek word. Their eyes were holden. Holden meaning preconceived ideas and doctrines. Their eyes were blinded by preconceived ideas and doctrines, and they knew him not. Read it. They did. They said, why are you so happy? And they said, oh, didn't you know? We thought we found the Messiah. But he didn't reestablish the nation of Israel. That was a Pharisee and Sadducee doctrine. If he didn't do it their way, they wouldn't know him. So don't make up your mind how God's going to do it, because he ain't going to do it that way. I had some of the most beautiful charts in 1970 you can imagine. I had all the things God was going to do, and he even was nice enough to put the dates on them so he'd know when to do them. I had 7 events for him to do in 1975, and he did them all in 73 and ruined all my beautiful charts. So I didn't want too many people to see that, so I taped over all those dates and made it a check-off list. And when he gets around to doing it, I put the date on it, he did it. But I did feel better. He wasn't watching Schofield's notes either. But anyway, and it must tear old Finest Dake up. You ain't watching his too close either. So I don't want to upset anyone with these things, and my whole purpose is to get you to read the Word of God. And don't depend on commentary. Remember, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will lead you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. If your spirit don't witness to anything I say, don't accept it. If you get mad, that's not your spirit. That's your soul, and that's your problem. But it's all right to get mad. Remember, Jesus gave another commandment. He said, be angry. There's a new commandment. But sin not. Every time I think of Kennedy McGovern in church, I almost sin. But anyway, we got rid of McGovern in church. Now, if we get Kennedy, well, it'd be nothing. But anyway, yes, brother. I think around 1982, in that time frame, in that 18 year, because remember, I gave the parallel of Jesus at the age of 12, around 1982, told his mother Mary and and Joseph, when they came back looking for him and found him in the temple, and he was opening the scriptures to the religious people of the day and asking questions, and they rebuked him. And it was a pretty much of an upstart, a 12-year-old kid staying and letting his family worry about him. And he said, but don't you know I'm to be about my father's business? And it wasn't Joseph's business. His was carpentering. But it was the Almighty Father's business. And it's very interesting to me that if you take 12 years, which he started about the Father's business, from the age 30, where he really was doing the Father's business, started his ministry, is 18 years, which is the exact amount of time from the end of this age, 1982, to the year 2000, in that time frame. Now, I don't know how you would recognize a manifested Son of God. Manifested simply means identifiable or recognizable. I don't know whether they'll have halos around their heads or not. We were talking about this down at Gerald Durstein's one night. The question came up and they said, well, how would you know a manifested son? And I never really thought about it. So I went back and looked up the definition of the Greek word translated manifested, and that's what it says, recognizable, identifiable. And it occurred to me, maybe you've been manifested and didn't know it. Did you know it? What does the world call you? A bunch of idiot tongue speakers, weirdos, wacko. But guess who they call when grandma's dying? That nut down the street that speaks in tongues, you know? Recognizable, identifiable. You've been identified. You've been marked. That weird bunch over at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Do you know what they believe? You know, you can hear that stuff all around. Anything new gets you on somebody's list. I've been put on a report at least three times to Dima Shakir, and people sent me copies of letters demanding that I resign as an international director because I don't believe in a rapture. No, that's the reason he doesn't answer the letters. Neither does Pat Robertson, neither does Billy Graham, and I could give you on and on and on of people that don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. It's clearly not in the scripture. God always saw his people through. He never took them out. Ask Noah. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ask the people in Egypt. The plagues were poured out upon the Egyptians, but it didn't hurt the Israelites. You're overcomers, not copper outers. I'm looking for the appearing Christ, not the disappearing saints. Glory to God. Now, see, if you make up your mind that he's going to have to rapture this bunch out before he can come, you're going to miss it. See, you've got set on a doctrine, commandments and traditions of men. Be Bereans. And don't hesitate to ask me questions. There's never been a dumb question, but I got a lot of dumb answers. But that's my problem. And if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. I got sick and tired of people trying to fake it. Oh, the people that enter the Holy of Holies. There's a lot of speculation about that. The scriptures really aren't all that clear. I wish they were, but they're not. You know, death doesn't bug me a whole lot. When I started talking about the International Money Group in 1968 and was naming people like McNamara and Secretary of Defense and all those people that were owned by the Rockefellers, people told me, they said, you better shut up about that, they'll kill you. And my answer was, heaven doesn't scare me all that much. You know? What can you do to a Christian? You kill them, you do a favor. Bang, and it's hello, Lord. You know, no problem. you beat them and they go off rejoicing that they were worthy to be beat for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, the world just doesn't understand you. After I'd seen this truth about being transformed and maybe not dying, see, I'm going to be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And a guy showed up at my door in Washington, D.C., selling cemetery lots. And I told him I didn't need one. Oh, yes, you know, death and taxes, they're sure. I said, well, taxes maybe, but death ain't all that sure. What do you mean? So I sat down and opened the Word to him. He went off mumbling to himself. And as he left, I said, why don't you do like Avis and Hertz, rent them for a day or so? Then you might get some Christians. Because they're not going to leave them long. I just love people that can laugh. Glory to God. I grew up in the Baptist and Methodist church, and if you ever smiled in church, they knew you were backslidden. You know, the abundant life. Won't you want to be a Christian? You can't dance, you can't drink. I like what Joan Osteen says. Had one of the most beautiful churches in town and nothing was happening, and then God started pouring out his Holy Spirit on all these long-haired hippies. And they heard that this bunch over there believed in the Holy Spirit, and he looked up one night and he'd been preaching for a week about love, agape love. And here came a bunch of these weirdos trucking in, barefooted, dirty feet, long hair, filled with the glory of the Lord. People began to move and get away from them. Some of them didn't smell too good. And he said, before he could think, he said, before you condemn those dirty feet that are coming into our church for the blessings of God, why don't you get down and wash them? Praise God. That's in the Scripture. It's in John. Now, I haven't found a church yet that washes feet every time they have Holy Communion, but it's in the Scripture. It only appears once. I know that argument. Caught up only appears once, and there's a whole bunch of them got doctrines based on that. So you can twist the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. Well, tomorrow morning, glory to God, back over here for breakfast and then prayer. And then I look forward to hearing Brother Lee's teachings. Man, every time I see the tabernacle pattern, books back there on the tabernacle, don't you wish you just had about 48 hours a day to read? Glory to God. But God gave you apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers and pastors for the perfecting of the saints. So the Lord is giving one ministry, one another. I think it's a real blessing to me. The Lord has blessed me with a very narrow little understanding of his word. But, you know, he says if you'll be faithful with a little bit, maybe he'll give you some more. But we need each other. That's the important point. I need you. You need me. And if we can ever get over our doctrines and sit down and share, bless God, we can figure this thing out. Just here a little, there a little, bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. We don't have to settle all our doctrines. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have any need in your spirit, in your soul, or in your body, glory to God, come on up. The Lord can meet that need. I know that you're sore from sitting. We don't lay hands on that. We'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Go rejoicing. Know that you can be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.